January the 4th, 2021, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good great planet Earth. Welcome to another webcast. This is PJ, your internet pastor, pastor with a new flair. I'm going to bring you some verses from the blessed book, and I'm also going to tell you how not to get hooked on boredom and foolishness and lose your way. Here we are in the first week of 2021 in the United States of America, and I hear that the cases are rising with COVID-19, that there are still more people out there doing whatever the heck they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, why they want to do it, doesn't matter, and they're dying. But you have elected to stay alive. And so what I'm going to do today on the webcast is share with you just how to do that. Now, I know that since many of us are living in close quarters, we got our husbands, our wives, our children, God bless their hearts, all around us and driving us crazy. Something like that, right? You know what I'm talking about. Well, I'm going to show you how to survive it. That's what today is all about. Thank you for coming to my website. I'm John Coleman. Listen. I've been called to help you in such a time as this. Isn't that nice? Well, we're going to get right into it because I think it's important to do that. We'll let the Hello Young Lovers, wherever you are, play out its course. Got some questions. You know, when there are problems coming up in your life, each of us must be willing to admit that we may be a vital part of that problem. See, the problem just doesn't stem from the other person. The problem comes from you, too, at times. And if you're a part of the problem, you're also a great part of the solution to that problem when you admit that you are a part of that problem. Each person must be willing to admit that, not only to admit that, but to change. And if you're not willing to admit it, you'll never change. You're going to argue with that other person. You're going to make them the fall guy. That's what it's all about. But I want to help you since we're in close quarters. You know, you see that person more often. He isn't employed now. He doesn't have a job because the job market's closed down. You keep telling that guy to go out there and get a job. There's no jobs to get. All of the guys that has a driver's license and a brain are driving the delivery trucks, delivering food and commodities to us since we're locked in during this COVID-19, and the surge is happening in 2021. You know, someone told me from another country yesterday that it may take another 2 years to solve all of this. And so we've got to work together because we're going to be close like this to each other for a while going on. So we've got to learn. We've got to learn how to deal with it. Something else, we have to avoid the use of emotionally charged words. You don't love me. No, they love you, but they're loving you in the only way that they know how. You always doing this and that. You never do anything right. Or here's another one. You just don't care at all. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like some of the words that you've been using lately? Has that been some of the emotionally charged words that's been keeping you at your lover's, at your friend's, at your family's throat? Wow. I had a great experience yesterday. You know, yesterday was Sunday. And since we're in this lockdown, it's really taken a lot to get us to stay on track. I got up and I looked around and I said, oh my gosh, I don't have any more of this, any more of that. Put on some clothes, put on my mask, and went to the market. And I met a lady when I had got these bags of food and I was putting it in my car. And this older sister, she looked to be about my age. Very, not any wrinkles in her face. And I viewed it as an approach from an angel whenever I had an experience like that. Because, you know, I'm learning how to eat the right kind of foods and exercise and to keep my body warm. I have on a pair of copper fit gloves with the fingers out for my computers because I'm always here in the studios working, keeping my hands warm and the arthritis down. I even got a pair for my legs, these copper fit leg socks, and they keep my muscles firm and my legs warm. I need that. So I was putting the food in the car, and the sister comes up, and she says, ooh, you have hair on your head, because I have a head full of white hair. And I said, yes. And she said, oh, I don't. All of my hair is falling out. And she says, but I'm 93 and I'm still kicking. Now, wait a minute. I looked at her and I said, you're 93. And I said, well, I'm 76. So I got a little while longer before mine starts to fall out. And, you know, I don't cut my hair anymore. I don't go to the barbershop. I shop. I just trim it up. That's what I do. But what she did is she complimented me, and I complimented her and said, well, thank you for encouraging me, because that's exactly what she did. Her life encouraged my life. And she was on her way into the market, had a little, cart that she was pulling with her to put her goods in there. And I just found that to be extraordinary. And it made my day. Praise God. I said, well, may the Lord continue to bless you and keep you strong. And she said, and you too. And it was just good. All right. One of the things that we have to do if we're going to help each other during this crisis going on is to be responsible for your own words, your own emotions, your own actions and reactions to things. You know, when the money is tight, when you don't have the kind of food you think you need, or you don't think that things are going in the way that they ought to go, be responsible for your own words and don't push anybody to using bad words against you. I'm not talking about New Year's resolution. I'm just talking about the decent thing to do amongst all human beings. We live together. We live around one another. Don't blame them on the other person. Don't blame all of these reactions and things on the other person when you constituted the start of it. You're the one that got angry. You're the one that lashed out. You're the one that became depressed over the situation. And so you felt it your responsibility to correct them. Oh, correct yourself first. And, you know, I found this to be true when my wife was here in the house with me when she was alive. I never went back to having reruns on old arguments. If there's no work out there for somebody to get a job to bring some stuff in the home, and if you worked and you had a job, that stimulus check is on the way because I've already received mine. And that's why I went to the store yesterday. I had to get some food. I'm just like you. I don't have a refrigerator or cupboards packed with the food that I eat. And you know what? It was great being in the supermarket, passing by the meat sections and only buying the plant-based meat. I didn't buy any chicken, beef, or pork. And it looked delicious because it takes my system harder to digest that than getting the protein from the plant-based meat that I eat. So if you're a senior citizen and you want to be healthier, now some people are going to, because I've seen them all over the internet, don't eat that kind of stuff. That stuff isn't good for you. No, it's good for me. It's good for me. But refrain from having reruns. And what does the Bible say about that? Because the Bible says an awful lot about these things that I'm talking about. I know that you're stuck at home and I'm stuck at home too. So reach over and grab that Bible of yours. And why don't you join me as I turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. You may say, what are you going to find there? I said Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. That's in the New Testament, if you're looking for it. You know what it says? It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Isn't this wonderful? God kind of like gives us a peekaboo in there. You know, don't be mad. Look, I know the kids are getting on your nerves. They can't go to school. I know your internet bill hadn't gotten paid, and so the kids can't get the things. You live in the inner city. You don't have the capacity to do that. If you check with the city services, they may be able to help you out. I mean, how can your kids get an education if they can't even, you know, go to school right? I know that's enough to make you pull your hair out. I know it is. That's why sometimes I play music, and I play that music in order to, you know, to try to cheer you up, because things are looking pretty bleak now. And when they look bleak, you argue more, you fuss more, you get at each other. That's a normal thing to do, but think about these things. Deal with one problem at a time in your household. Don't, you know, but we have a tendency to just pile up everything. And that's when things start to become explosive, because we're piling up everything, and then you just add one infraction after the next, and then the next, and then the next, and you never get over it. And I know how it is in my neighborhood when people start doing things like that. Well, they begin to argue about absolutely everything, and it doesn't make for good communication. Jesus talks about that, really. And I'm not talking about the white Jesus with the blonde hair and the blue eyes. Not that dude. That's a European makeup artist. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the real Hebrew Israelite, the real one. See, when I read my Bible, I read to try to listen to the divine things, what they're saying about that. Now, how do we deal with one problem at a time and then moving on to the next? Jesus said in the book of Matthew in the New Testament of the Bible, chapter 6, verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that wisdom? Here it appears that we're being told, don't go over the edge because of what's happening to you tomorrow. Landlord is saying, you got to pay the rent or we're going to put a lock on the door. Now, I'm not saying just sit there in that apartment or in that house when they're getting ready to repossess everything and not do anything you can to make it right. But when you've done all that you can do, absolutely everything, I believe that God's going to step in and make something happen. So let's handle one problem at a time in that household, and then we can move on to the next. Deal with the present and not with the past. And that's hard to do. I know that it's hard to do because, you know, we have a tendency, you know, we think that we're going to win the argument if we keep talking about what they didn't do in the past. You know, you said you were going to do this, but you didn't do this yet. So you just a liar. And the next thing you know, you're fighting all over Dodge about that stuff. Now, while you're listening to me, turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Don't worry, I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you if you don't have your Bible handy. Let me stop here and say that you guys know I love you, right? I mean, that's why I do this. I love you. I don't have a lot of money. I can't do too much for you in that way, but I love you enough to tell you the truth. Hang a no fishing sign over the past unless it will help you solve your present problems. No fishing. In other words, let's not go back to that lake and dive in there. I said Philippians 3, 12 through 14, right? Let's see what the Word of God says about it. Not that I already obtained it or have already become perfect, Paul says, but I press on in order that I may lay hold to that which also is just laid hold of in Jesus Christ. And then it says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold to it yet, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and reach forward for what is ahead. I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See what he says? I let go of those things that hold me back, that makes my blood pressure go up, that makes me want to cuss somebody out. Gosh darn it, I can kick your... I know what you feel. Major on the positive instead of majoring on the negatives. That's one thing. We're always, you just like your daddy. Well, that wasn't fair. You may be just like your mama. We should stop calling names. It's time for us during this COVID in 2021 to love each other like a fanatic. Oh, my goodness. Major on the positives, not on the negatives. That's very, very important if we're going to make it through this together. Learn how to communicate without using your mouth. Now, you're saying, PJ, what do you mean by that? You can't talk to these people unless you say, God, you know, all that kind of stuff. I would not use the, you know what I was taught by my grandmother, Nanny Coleman, rest her soul. I was in Seoul, Korea, in the Army in 1966 when she passed away, and I wasn't able to come home for the funeral. But she said, John Jr., don't you ever use the name of the Lord in vain. And she's right. And you know what my grandmother, Nanny Coleman, it was when my dad was injured by this tractor trailer. He was working for the city of Los Angeles up in the Griffith Park area. And one of the brakes dislodged in the tractor, and the tractor rolled back and sliced them open. And my dad was bedridden for a good few months. And I was the guy that was chosen to change the Band-Aids on him. Well, Grandma would come by, and she would look at me, and she would cry. I was 15, 16 years old, you know, about 11th grader in high school, something like that. And she looked at me, and she said, oh, John Jr., John Jr. And she would start crying and shaking her head, and I said, what? What is it, Grandma? She said, you're going to be a preacher. I know it. I know you're going to be a preacher. And I don't want to be no preacher. She, you know what my grandma told me? It ain't got a thing to do with you, boy. You're going to be a preacher. I know it. And she would cry. And so I would ask her, well, why are you crying? You see, she was communicating in non-verbal way. She didn't give me any words. But through her tears, I knew that she was serious. She was serious and she was correct. Let me say that. She was correct. That was when I was 16, 17 years old, and I got called to preach when I was, I became Christian and when I was 23, and I got called to preach in 19, a couple of years after that. Yes. Wow. Isn't that something? She communicated with me in a non-verbal way. So we need to express our thoughts and our concerns to each other by relating our activities to them. Relate the activities to the people in your home and so that they will know where you're coming from. And so you won't appear to be some type of crackpot going off. I know my neighbor doesn't listen to my webcast, but I have a neighbor, and I recall when they first moved there, she would speak to her daughter in a mean voice. And sometimes when the home church met, we heard her literally cussing the child out through the window. And it was embarrassing for us. But it's different now because the child has grown up. The child is a teenager. And I guess the child got the lessons. But the mother did not relate her activities and how she felt in a way that I would. Listen in order to understand and respond to the meaning behind what the person is saying. So you see, you have to listen to them. And if you don't like what they did, you are not going to listen correctly because you're going to be too busy focusing on what you didn't like, they said. And I got to say this, y'all know that I'm always doing this. I did it when I was a pulpiteer and I do it now. Guys, know that if you're having odds with a woman in the house, the woman's going to raise her voice and she's going to come at you with triple and quadruple the words. Don't argue with a woman when she argues with you like that. Don't do that. When he or she flies off the handle at you, he or she may be saying, I've had a terrible day in this house with these children. I've had a terrible day trying to get them to go to that computer and get their lesson. I've had a terrible day trying to figure out what we're going to have for dinner because I'm tired of having mac and cheese. I want to have something different. You see, that's what they may be saying. And so you have to give way to that. Or they also may be saying, nobody respects me. I really need someone's affection right now. Will you be the person in that apartment to give them the affection? Will you be the person in that complex? Will you be the person that overhears the conversation, the argument, the frustration, the anxieties that's going on? Will you be the person that's going to say, look, come here, boy, come here? Because that teenage boy is, he can't go visit his friends because they all got the flu in their house. And there's no flu and COVID in your house, and you won't let that 13-year-old get out. And he goes off and he starts talking about these mother, father, sister, brothers. You know what I'm talking about. And you hear it. Are you the person, okay, that can respect him, that can give him affection? Mother, will you call that boy and say, come here, boy, and hug him, feel his heart or her heart? Because that girl, she wants to go to the beauty shop, get her hair done. Get it done. You can't do it because you're out of the pressing oil. You don't have the extra money to spend on that. You tell her to do the best she can. Hey, man, things will never be the same again. I don't know who this is, but whoever it is can leave a message. I'm not going to take a call in the middle of this webcast. Not today. Now, listen. Practice the golden rule. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What would you like the people in, how would you like the people in your close quarters to treat you as you're fighting the habit of going out, shopping, doing all those things that you usually do? Because when you don't have the amount of money that you used to have, well, you can't do the same thing. Somebody left me a notification and a little message here, so let me listen to it and see what they're saying. Okay. All right, I guess they aren't saying anything. Oh, I got to press the button. No, not even worth wasting my time. So, let's get back to the theme. What would you like them to do for you? To tell you the truth, because when you're in this lockdown situation, we have a tendency not to believe the people that are around us. We think they're lying. Where have you been? Well, I've been out there looking for work. I called you, but you didn't answer your phone. Where you been? I've been out there. I was over there looking. Why am I answering you? You don't have to talk back to me like that. I'm around here. These kids are driving me out of my ass. Where have you been? Baby, come here. Don't be playing up to... By that time, man, you grabbed her. Then ask her for an opinion of how it can be better. How often do you want to call me? And do you want me to call you back? Do you want me to leave the name of the employer that I was trying to seek? I wasn't going to see anybody else. I know it's rough between us. I know we haven't slept with each other in a long time. But baby, you got to trust me. See, you got to be a help to the person in the house with you during a time of need. You have to be natural around the people that you live around. That's what you're looking to do. Do good to everybody in your household, to everybody in the neighborhood. You know, I walk my dog. And when I walk my dog, I pass by and I see my neighbors. And I have to do good to these neighbors. Do that which helps other people and lend an expecting hand and offer some hope. And don't look for nothing in return. I'm telling you, Morio is in, oh my goodness, Papua New Guinea. He was deep in the jungle, deep in the bush, and he sent the nicest video of him. You go to Morio Canto's Facebook page, and you will see him teaching children the English alphabet deep in the bush where there is no internet. And he told me that's what he was going to do. And he's going to put together this dictionary, this library. He took tons and tons of material over there to share it with the people. I won't tell you about the negativity that he ran into, because whenever you run into human beings, you're going to find some negativity. But what is unique in Papua New Guinea, and Morio had to pass all of the tests to get in there, because you can't go into a foreign country sneezing and coughing and stuff. And he didn't have COVID, and he went, and he's doing what he said he was going to do. He did that which he was supposed to do, and he practiced a principle of doing good. That's what he learned when he was under my custody. See, a lot of people accuse me not being a good pastor because I didn't force Mario to come and sit in our meetings when I had the house church going. No, I never preached to a grown man. They know what I am. They know what I do. They can come in there if they want to. My children went to church with me when they were living under my roof because I was that kind of a man, but I never made anybody listen to me. If you don't want to hear what I'm talking, if you don't like me using the Bible verse because your grandma had a bad experience with a preacher, throw me out with the bathwater. I don't care, but please discuss together as a family, team, why this is going on in order to determine the needs of the family that's going to make that family turn out better. It is normal as well as natural in all relationships to have conflict, especially in families, but you have to obey somebody. That's the key. Marriage is no different. Nuclear families, meaning those within the perimeter of your context, it's no different from any other kind of relationship, such as being on the job and all of that. And it is and can be devastating. What can be these conflicts that I'm talking about? The art of resolving these conflicts is the key to your understanding how you're going to survive COVID-19 and the United States of America restrictions. We seem to be the stubbornest people in the world right now. I hear today, Monday, that they're locking down Europe again. Look, it's going to take at least a couple of years to get a handle on this. I know certain people's lives have been destroyed. Listen to me. Listen, I know it. I owned a restaurant and I had employees and I was a DJ and I played my music and I opened up a gym and I did that. And I worked in the nightclub and I worked in the restaurant. You can't do any of that. This is the new world order that we're living in. But it's also a time to test your maturity as a part of a lifelong process of living with people, living with decency. That's one thing that I like about America. I'm not even going to talk about our president. To this date, he's still trying to get another vote, another count. Listen to me, people. Listen. You're not going to foil democracy because you're mad because you didn't make it. And the people that you've supported, now you got them supporting another count to keep. Listen, leave that man in his madness. Leave him there. He does not want to mature. If we make it through this virus, we have to handle it. You may not like Dr. Fauci and these kind of scientists, but I think you better damn sure listen to them. That's what you better do. And stop listening to these soothsayers and these behind these pulpits telling you to get around these people, because the way this thing is going around, you don't know who the carrier is. You don't even know if you're a carrier. Keep in mind that if we're to become one in our families, that we have to obey somebody. Somebody is in charge of that man. Know this. And if you don't know this, then you won't know the source of a conflict. And you have to be able to put that in its proper perspective. Men and women are different, okay? They're different. Sisters, your brother is not going to see things your way because he a dude. Now, if he's raised by his mother, raised by a bunch of women, you got a man that thinks like a woman, that's going to respond like a woman, that's going to react as a woman. When I raise and mature men, I mature them to think like men, because in case of a crisis that comes into the community or the life pattern that you're living in, you're going to need a man to respond to that. The time of prayer is over when things get rough. You need somebody to say, get over here, follow me. And you need to see the whole unit do just that. Also realize that one is more logical than the other. Sometimes a woman is far more logical than a man. A man may say, I'm hungry, feed me. And a woman may say, I'm just going to feed you what I got here because I'm looking out for my babies tomorrow. That don't mean for you, Pop, since you bringing in the cornflakes to go in there and eat the whole box up because you provided for it. Also realize this, that between a man and a woman, one is more emotional in situations than the other one is. A man may get quiet. He may appear to be passive, but he's not passive. He's thinking it through because men are more didactic than women are. And that will never change. Now, if some of you are female psychiatrists and stuff like that, hey, listen, you know, one of the majors that I took in college was psychology. So I got a little stuff under my cuff, too. I read up on Abraham Maslow and all those guys. And yeah, realize this, that even so, you're different in many ways. You've got to work together and you must support one another. That is very important. There's a difference in the strength of one's personal faith also, because if one is faithful to believe that God is going to assist us in the process of getting ahead. Listen, let me tell you, I don't need the $600 for the food. I need the $600 for something else. And the $600 is going to pay somebody that is doing a work in my garden in the backyard that I can no longer do. So you see, the money is not for me. Because if I keep living and if Social Security keeps flowing, they're going to send me a few dollars each month. Not worried about that. As a 76-year-old senior citizen, I'm not bragging. I don't need much. And so when I see somebody in need of money, I just give it to them. You need $40? Here, take this. But then I tell them, this is not the Savior $40. There's a difference in the strength of one's faith. Do you have faith enough to believe that God is going to lead the family unit out of this particular predicament that they're in? If one is weak, we that are weak should bear the weakness and infirmities of the weak one and do that for them. That's Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Just mark that down. Mark that down. Well, I think I better read it to you. Let me turn to it. Because you see, it's more, it makes more sense if it comes from God's word instead of coming from PJ's mouth. I want to start off with Romans 14:1 first, talking about the difference in the strengths of people. Now, except the one who is weak in faith and not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. Now, isn't God wonderful? He says, if one is weak and doesn't see the end result the way you see it, accept them. Accept them. Don't badger them. Don't judge them. You know, we're a people that it appears that we seem to want to judge the other person. We shouldn't judge the other person. Romans chapter 15, the next one is over. If one person is weak, 15, 1 and 2, it reads like this. It says, now we who are strong, that means strong enough to bear this. I'm a strong man. I've been hungry in my life before, but if I could, you know, the reason that I don't care about getting hungry and needing something to eat because of what the Bible says. I don't know whether you ever heard of this verse. It says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed, God's seed, God's seed, God's offspring, God's people begging for bread. Now, it doesn't mean that if I get hungry, I'm going to say, man, I sure could use some of that sandwich that you're eating over there. I don't care if it is meatloaf. I don't usually eat meat, but I'll eat that. See, because I'm not too proud. Because the Bible says pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. But let's continue to read this verse. Let me read it over again. Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. Now, if some of you are offended at me reading the Bible, you have to listen to what the words say. Because if you're weak in the faith, you don't believe in this. But if you're strong in the faith, you put everything behind it. It says, now we who are strong are to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not to please ourselves. Verse 2 says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good to his edification. Isn't that marvelous? We're to do it for our neighbors to build him up. That means that we have a certain love for them. I have a tangerine tree this season that is just overabundant with tangerines. I need to peel them all off the tree and put plastic sacks out right on my lawn and have assigned free tangerines for my neighbors and put them out there and see how long those bags. See, that's what I do. Instead of hoarding them and letting the tangerines spoil on the tree. That's the disposition that we should have since we're living in a neighborhood, a community of other people. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, and these are great verses, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also on the interest of others. You see, a lot of people asking John, why do you keep quoting that Bible? Why do you keep looking? Because it has for me, and since I believe that God inspired these words in these men, and these are good words, these will help us through these terrible times. Oh, I love the word. Where does all the conflicts and everything come from? You know where that comes from. The conflict comes from our not wanting to take the time and to understand each other. Now, James in the New Testament talks about that. I won't read the verses. You read it. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. James tells us where it comes from. It comes from greed and all that. And what is he saying? He's saying that we need to check ourselves. Now, N-S-O, in, never produces conflicts. S, sometimes causes conflicts. O, often results in conflict. Now, what I mean by that, are you the one that never produces conflict? Are you the one that sometimes produces it? Are you the one that often causes it? See, conflicts in interpersonal relationships are inevitable. We know that. And the conflict that America is going through right now is that a lot of them don't want to stay home and follow the orders and obey. I think that obedience is something that I really learned was good for me when I was drafted in the U.S. Army. Because before I was drafted in the U.S. Army, I believe what my school teachers taught me, that I was a free person. Till I got there and those drill sergeants let me know that I wasn't free at all. But conflict today should be avoided by simply overlooking other people's faults and weaknesses. That's how you're going to avoid it. Overlook him. Well, he took my bike. I didn't tell him to take it. Overlook it. That was a fault. That was a weakness. Overlook it. Meaning this. Or also, well, let me add something else. Conflict usually intensifies when one fails to recognize and to correct his own faults, because it's going to come back at you like that. Conflict can be avoided by not judging other people for their faults and weaknesses. Now, that's a hard thing to do, especially if you're controlling the house and you got that 18 or 19-year-old living with you, and they're nab on an adult, and they're trying to act like an adult in your house, Pops, and they're trying to come against you. And you feel like, wait a minute. Well, let me give you some agree or disagree, and you can let me know whether you can make this a true or false statement here. Okay? First one, conflicts are always caused by the differences between husbands and wives. Well, sometimes. How about this one? Conflict is an important element in the personal growth of the husband and wife. Sometimes, again, because if you communicate, you don't have to communicate through conflicts. Obey the rules. Conflicts are not always accompanied by arguments. That's true. Many times when I was at odds with my wife here in this house on Harcourt, we had conflicts. We didn't argue. I walked away. Unresolved conflicts usually become problems in any relationship at home. That's right. You got to resolve it. Don't walk away when the thing needs to be resolved, because if you don't do that, you're going to see the danger of doing that. Each time an old conflict resurfaces without a resolution, the problem becomes more acute. True. Because if you have not addressed that, then you are giving ear to it. Now, it's not important to bring it up and risk ruining your relationship, so forget it. Now, that may be your style, but what happens when this attitude develops? You see, if you forget a conflict that needs to be resolved, especially during COVID-19, during this crisis, that can lead you into some terrible, terrible situations. Y'all need to hear me on that. Think that through. Now, some people say there's no way to resolve this conflict, so why try? Now, you got some people do that. They don't even want to come near you. Some people handle it this way. Someday I may say something about it, but today I'll just wait and see if it might resolve itself. There are other things that we can talk about. What's wrong with that? You have to figure these things out. Does it sound familiar? That's why I'm talking to you. That's why I'm spending this time. I'm still a pastor in my heart. I still love you in my heart. I will play music when it's time to play music, but it's time this Monday for us to get some things straight. We are to take advantage of the disadvantage of conflict by talking about this. And we have to take the time to do it. Teach our children to do it. Help our neighbors in doing it. All right, I think it's time for me to end it. So I'm going to do that, and I'm going to end up by playing some music. I started off with a little jazz, and I want to end up with a little jazz. I want to thank you for coming to my website and being available to receive this wisdom. I hear the pianist in the background playing. Just raise the volume on this. I hope to come back tomorrow and have more good stuff to share with you. But until then, my friend, I want to say obey. I know it's difficult for some of you to do. Hey, this is PJ. I'm in the Lucy Coleman studio. It's a little overcast today. The sun is trying to break out about 61 degrees outside. Let's hope it gets better. Thank you. Remember, you can go to this website here preaching. You can listen to other webcasts. Follow me day by day as we go through 2021. God has blessed us to see another year. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God bless.